McCone jamming with his buddies. Goes into Cultures Are Business, which comes out 2 years later.
Any university, on the other hand, go to any engineering department, any medical school, and they'll say our graduates, upon the day of graduation, are obsolete.
They have spent
7 or 8 years studying things and getting totally out of touch with all the new discoveries.
This would be something to be worth looking at. IBM is putting in a two-story thing in the new Penn Station building down there. And it's going to be a 9-wall translucent thing where they can put 100 images on each wall, or they can program the whole mosaic any way they want, with sound coming from all directions. 22 people, I believe. 22 people at a time sit inside this $6.5 to $7 million.
Air Canada advertises a new office building 9 miles high that moves at the speed of a bullet. A huge supersonic plane that is as big as a big office building, in which you can hire all the office space you like and travel at the speed of a bullet around the earth and do your business in the global village.
Yeah, beautiful. Like buses. I mean, the thing we're thinking about is getting a thing here and making the bus the classroom. And this new.
Well, it was a discovery recently by a chap in Toronto that if he bought up old hearses, he could transform them into motels and take families around the world comfortably.
Yeah.
This is help beautify junkyards. Theme is very relevant to our time because the whole planet is becoming a junkyard.
Right. But the kids, the awful struggle is the real pressure cooker situation is the kids who are the natural citizens of this electronic world are also caught in what Tony calls the pencil box world. So you've got the slowest environment and the fastest people together. Now, so that's why
that is called a gap, a generation gap. People need to meditate on the nature of gaps very much because between a wheel and an axle you have a gap, and without that gap there could be no wheel. When the grease disappears and the gap seizes up, you've got problems. Now, what's wrong with our generation gap is not that there's a gap, but that it is seizing up. It is getting into a hotbox situation in which the blooming wheels won't turn. Our ballot boxes are turning into hotboxes. They're hotting up the political situation, trying to get representatives out of that old box. And it's hotting up and seizing up and will not yield representatives, but only freakouts.
Yeah.
There was a wonderful ad for a...
How did the idea of a representative government come?
The idea of representation through ballot box is an amazing discovery of 18th century mechanism. And randomized... they use the technique now for finding brides and mates by randomized computerized mating systems.
Yeah.
Always a computer, never a bride. Well... this idea that you could get
I've been married, IBM.
Kilroy was here, graffiti and all. But the idea of representation as is very much politically very much in the position of art, representative art, meaning the delineation of the actual outer world by repeating it on another medium exactly as it was in the old form. This was the same mechanism that created representative government.
That's an interesting example of that matching.
It's
photographic.
Well, the word that's now being used is participatory democracy. You know,
image, which means image making, in which you have to find people who will serve as an inclusive image for the whole community.
Marshall, do you have any word for the concept of being literate in many media? As opposed to literacy which is in print?
Oh, just contemporary. That's my only word. I think of someone who is capable of living in the present as it actually is on its multitude of fronts, that's a contemporary mind. And most people live in somnambulistic dreams about many pasts simultaneously and carefully avoiding all the present. present is a very dangerous and frightening experience at any age. In this age, I think it probably may be too much. When change began to happen at very high speed, people had to begin to adjust, and this was the birth of psychoanalysis. When change occurs slowly, you can become a freak or a character. And you don't do any harm in the village or the little town you live. You become a character. A neurotic used to be a character. Today, at high speeds of change, a neurotic is a dangerous menace. So we had to invent psychoanalysis to get rid of him. So every breakdown is a breakthrough. So the speed up of change created a breakdown, which was the breakthrough into the inner world of psychoanalysis. And this happens on all fronts. It's the breakdown of the old wheel with its steel rim led to the pneumatic tire, or the pneumatic tire led to the breakdown of the old steel rim and to the end of quarries and the end of many other things. Every new breakthrough is a breakdown. Truth is discovered by heaping one error on another error on another error until you've got to find the answer. We are now in this position in education.
Yeah.
We have accumulated such a huge mound of errors, backlog of data. We've got to find a way of coping.
Well, one of the nice things about having so many errors around, at least if you perceive it that way, of course, as again, only a small percentage do, is that you've got nothing really to lose by changing. The idea of experimentation and the possibility of doing harm to the kids involved.
When the community is already experimenting with them at a furious clip.
Of course, that's the whole business. They're just
every new technology performs an experimental operation on the psyche of everybody.
Yeah, right.
And so we have performed the most... Well, anesthetics, for example, as a new technology, permitted surgeons to perform fiendish tortures upon human beings. Convalescence was invented.
Hiya, Marshall. Where you been? How about now? What are we going to do for little kids here? Yeah, you're going to be a grandfather probably before the sun, the tape is over.
Before the sun is down, before the daughter's out.
Mr. Hines, now what do we want to do for the first grandchild of old McLew?
Oh, look, the opportunities of becoming hunters on a massive scale and becoming feed-forward characters instead of feedback characters is a very exciting one, because the game is so rich. We live in a world where the game, and where education has to become play, has to become hunting.
Education is very gamey now.
Has to become games, has to become play, equals interface. Interplay, interface, dialogue. The whole, you were beginning it right here.
Scouting.
You and I are, at this moment, John, we are interfacing, making discoveries, talking about problems for which we are only beginning to see the solutions ourselves. We don't know the answers. We just know that we can find answers if we keep working at it.
Yeah. How did we ever get so dumb as to tell people or work on the whole idea that you have to go to the unknown through the known? It's the only way never to get to the unknown. Well, it's because we just wanted to match what was known already.
Yeah, but you take the known with you and repeat it and call it a discovery.
Yeah. Man, the only way to find out about the known is through the unknown.
The future of the future is the present. Literally. Whereas most people think of the future, for example, Orwell, or 2001 Space Odyssey, they produce a bunch of old 19th century hardware and say, man, here, look at the future. Here it is. It's an old batch of rear view mirror stuff like Edward Bellamy.
Yeah. 1884. That's
the Edward Bellamy thought he was looking ahead into 2000 and he was looking back to 1800.
Yeah, sure.
Karl Marx in 1848 thought that he was looking ahead to a great revolution of communistic tribalism, which had already happened.
Marx fell back with his scram.
Well, that's
how
wonderful.
About your grandchild? That's I want to get the.
We'll write a little letter. We write a little letter to our grandchildren?
Yeah.
Dear grandchild.
Yes, sir.
Helix culpa.
That's all right. That's worthy of a little note there. Don't erase that.
forward?
I say that just for the halibut.
Yeah. Which means happy. Well, this, you know, you heard the name for the, it's not a, for the birth control pill. I kid you not.
Yeah.
No, that's by the way, there's a nice example of rearview mirrorism. People are indignant now that they have mechanical means of controlling light processes, or rather restraining light processes. They see no reason why human beings should undergo any further uncertainty about their control over biology. The moment you restrain all uncertainty in human affairs, as between individuals, you turn yourselves automatically into a robot. You are a machine. You have dehumanized yourself. So the dear old Pope is merely trying to defend our human being and our human nature by saying, I don't want you to become machines.
Now, there's probably some place in there between that, you know, maybe it'd be nice just to be all that machine-like. You know.
We have reached the point where it is now possible to program the DNA particle.
Yeah.
And we can not only restrain life, we can generate new dimensions of life. And instead, this whole idea of the pill is a 19th century idea of negation, and whereas our whole, it's like NASA. The whole idea of NASA is outer space, Newtonian. There is more inner space than all the outer space ever is nothing as compared to the inner space between the particles of our own body.
Let's write that letter to grandchild here.
We are still writing the letter. Oh. Dear grandchild Helix Kulpa, we are about to enter the world of inner space, having long wandered around in the outer galaxies of our visually deluded world.
Dear grandchild, you're really not being born at all that bad a time, because there are enough people around now who understand this and won't try to...
Yes, there are at least three or four. And you don't have to worry anymore. There are at least three or four people who could tell you what might be done. Don't despond. One man plus the truth equals victory. And
having four guys plus the truth, I mean...
Why, it's a pushover. It's just a pushover.
Yeah, just a few technologies to be handled. Dear grandchild, it's probably, if you're going to be in California, you're going to be in one of the places where it has a chance to happen faster or slower than wherever you
want. Tony and I were having a little chat here a few minutes ago about the future of New York. And, dear grandchild, you will be able to verify this. I don't think of it as much of a prophecy. As you know, London Bridge did not fall down. It was carefully taken down and rebuilt by dollar bills in Houston, Texas, and as a curio. And New York City...
Houston, Texas was built as a curio, but that's enough.
New York City, built by steamboat and railway, torn apart by the motor car, bypassed by the jet plane and left to become a ghetto, will, within the next few decades, be dismantled like London Bridge, stone by stone. And so, by the time you are 20, dear grandchild, you can come and watch the vegetables growing where we are sitting here in the middle of Manhattan. There will not be one stone left. It will be an agricultural territory. Of course, it is now possible to grow any farming product, whatever, in skyscrapers. Tank farming can now be done on the 80th floor of a skyscraper, as well as underground. But New York, as we know it now, product of old hardware like your educational system of the 19th century, will not exist by the time you are of age. There will not be one...
Of age is an old-fashioned thing. You'll be of age.
Yes.
Just get my mortgage paid
a week later, yeah.
Yes, yeah, so as you know, the voting age used to be 18. It will be 3 in your time. 3 years of age is sufficient now to mature a person and to give him a proper quality of senile grooviness. The word groovy used to mean new. As you know now, it means settled in well-established patterns. Isn't that amazing how we used to use slang, groovy meaning real far out, instead of what it really meant, stuck
in a rut.
In a
rut. Yeah. grandchild, we probably won't send you anything that looks like a school in our sense now. We'll...
We'll simply reprogram your co-red corpuscles and give you all the information you need instantaneously, implanting it upon the cortex. However, there is the problem that when...
The doctor has replaced the school.
Yeah.
There is.
You go to the doctor. The doctor used to come to your home. Now the school comes to your home and you go to the doctor.
There is...
Which school comes to your home? TV, you mean?
TV.
Yeah, the world.
There is, of course, the problem that if all this data is are implanted upon your cortex, that when you open your mouth, you will be amazingly, you will verbalize amazingly like other people.
Yeah, we don't want. What is he?
We don't want you to be that groovy.
What does he need data on his cortex for? I mean, data's got nothing to do with nothing. It's really data in the true sense of the word. Given.
Will they have an education pill?
Sure.
You take a pill and. And the mother takes a pill.
The idea of education as a pill is a very good example of the rear view mirror, 19th century concept of swallow the book. Swallow the book, memorize it.
Digest it.
Inwardly digest. Remember that amazing phrase, inwardly digest, when all the books of the world had already been outwardly digested into encyclopedias?
Yeah. That's very good. But there won't be any grades.
We used to talk of education as consume and inwardly digest, whereas all the learning in the world had been already digested into encyclopedias long before it was inwardly digested.
Well, I have found the Encyclopedia Britannica the most useless publication ever.
I've been told that the 11th edition has the best data on technological effects in warfare of any source book in the world, that all the military histories of our 20th century cannot touch the 11th edition for the effects of technology on warfare.
They must have one good guy write the piece for them, that's all.
Anything I've ever wanted to know, I've never been able to find
out. Well, there, dear grandchild, as you know, with the atom bomb, warfare ceased to be of any use as a political weapon.
So that thing is useless.
And any kind of over-amplification of any power whatever makes it useless. And therefore, the overextension of our senses, perhaps globally and astrally, may turn us into ESP entities in which speech itself. Dear grandchild, I would wish to hear from you. Write me a little note sometime and tell me whether speech is still used in your world.
What's a note?
Yes.
What? Will you be able to spell?
Communicate with me and tell me whether speech has been supplanted by some other form of communication in your time. I can see that writing is going. I can see that various languages are in danger, including them, various forms of entertainment that we take for granted. Perhaps speech itself, as a mode, will disappear, and we will return to that condition mentioned in chapter 11 of the book of Genesis, in which all the world spake one language, and perhaps it will consist of one word.
Jeanette called her secretary the other day and wanted to leave a message, and she tells her something about something sweet. I forget what the question was. And the girl says, how do you spell it? And Jeanette says, how do you think? She says, S-W-E-A-T.
Well, it's like a new suite of clothes. In the South, they still use that old Elizabethan pronunciation. A suit is a suite. And they talk of a new suit of furniture and a new suite of clothes. And it's very sweet of them.
Say that wrong. You know,
I wouldn't want to interfere with you all at all.
That grandchild there, we want to also get his inside and his outside in better harmony than they've done for us in our day. Huh?
Yeah, that programming of the inner and the outer worlds in order to create some sort of music, to orchestrate instead of merely cacophonize. There's all sorts of puns leering out of that cacophonize thing.
You think you want to get over this?
Inside, outside?
Carsophagus.
Do you think we'll ever get over the fact that, you know, the world we make now will be ridiculous for the next...
Have you stopped blowing both horns of your...